Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, well, there is our lovely show opening music. Welcome to Three Muses and the Universe. And today we're going to talk about judgment. This is Mary Phelan, and I'm here with Tierney Stadler and Sheila Cash. As always, we will jump right in. So judgment, boy, I would say that's a scary, scary topic, because I think how much of what we do every day is motivated by not being judged by others or in resistance to judging another person. What do you think?
When you 100%? Start to look at this, yeah, you can go into almost any area, any topic, any race, any, you know, any subject from birth to death, and find judgment everywhere.
I know.
And the Bible is written from a place of judgment.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to come out.
The Old Testament.
I'm going to put this on the table, lay it down, something that I judge. Star is wearing a hat. I just some sort of weird lane change. And I know this isn't true. There are people out there with hats and cars with hats on. There's some sort of label that we put on things.
Well, part of a basic functioning in life, we have to judge that table is 3 feet away from me so I don't stub my toe on it. And it's part of everyday life. It's just it runs out of control when we talk about social and emotional and spiritual issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, mental issues.
And we're in, you know, it seems from a popular culture point of view that we definitely are judging less than we have in past eras, or at least we were pretending that we're judging less, and we're certainly wanting to judge less. And yet, you know, if you take a closer look, it's always there.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a name out here, okay? And the name is Caitlyn Jenner. And it has been very prevalent in the news lately. And on one hand, I'm going to say it's very heartening because it just seems like it happened at a great time in society because so many people were opening their hearts and their minds to her, whatever you want to call it, her stand or her position or her desires, whatever you want to call that. But on the other hand, there were so many people who were saying things like, well, as long as she's got a penis, she's not a woman. Or, you know, like yesterday, actually, there was some talk because it was Father's Day. And was Caitlyn Jenner going to celebrate Father's Day? The answer was yes. And would he also celebrate Mother's Day? And, you know, people were saying no because he's not a mother. You know what I mean? You know, if you're not a mother.
Mm-hmm. But even, you know, all of that is judgment because, you know, no matter what sort of genitalia anyone has and no matter what sort of holiday is coming around, it's our judgments, even about the holidays, you know, and about the sex, because, you know, she can be a dad.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason why she can't be a dad. It's our issue, not hers.
Right.
I mean, that's a total
point.
Judgment.
You know? Something that this is bringing up, many years ago I worked in an office, and there was this guy that worked there, and he was just irritable all the time. I worked at the front desk area. And he just was really a nasty personality, you know, where you just didn't even talk to him because you knew he was going to snap at you or something.
Mm.
Well, he came in one day and said that he had to inform all of us that he was going to come dressed as a woman for 1 year because in order to get this operation, you had to do that. And it was real startling that he was going to do that. And I remember feeling really scared, not because I judged it. I genuinely didn't, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe this is going to make him happier, but I remember the first day that he was due to come in dressed as a woman, and I was sitting through glass doors at the elevator, and I thought, wouldn't that just be horrible if I laughed or, you know, did something, like made some nervous gestures?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember being afraid that judgment of some kind would creep out. But what happened is he came in very tastefully dressed, and he became the nicest person in the world after he changed to. And I thought, here, I'm not judging him changing into a woman. I was judging who he was before he changed into a woman.
Yeah.
That's who I was judging. But in my mind, I was afraid I was going to judge the new him.
Yeah.
So the mystery was about not being able to be authentic. And Caitlyn Jenner's kids are saying the same thing about her. Totally different person, so much happier, so much nicer. You know, so it's about that ability to be authentic.
Yeah.
But I do, it seems that so many more are coming out these days, and whether it's because they can, and maybe that percentage of the population have always been transgendered, but it does seem that we're on an evolutionary trajectory toward blending the sexes. You know, you even have the androgynous. I saw something on, my daughter was watching, you know, entertainment news show, and Miley Cyrus was with, at an award show with somebody, a friend, who would not identify as either male or female, just would not. And you really couldn't tell, you know, by looking, and very androgynous looking. And I think there's something evolutionary going on there.
Well,
integration.
Many years ago, when I first met Neville, he was talking about how we're all evolving to be hermaphroditic, like both sexes.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. It may not be in that direction. I think it's more just, whatever sex you are is irrelevant. It's this larger, complete.
Yeah. Well, and I think that for a lot of us, you know, I'll say I cannot wrap my head around what it is like to feel like I'm another sex. None of us in this room can.
Right.
To feel like that we were born the wrong sex and to live that way. And, you know, there are so many things that are kind of happening in the world, just like what Sheila was saying about the evolution and stuff like that. And it might not just be in sexuality. It might be in lifestyle. It might be in a lot of different ways. And just, you know, we tend to go through lives based on what our experiences are and what we know. And I think that part of the evolutionary thing is that we're coming to a place where a lot of stuff that we can't wrap our head around is happening and is going to happen. And we can't judge it. We can't judge it because we can't possibly understand. I don't think that you can fairly judge anything that you can't possibly understand.
And, you know, if we are integrating the sexual aspects of it, maybe we'll all be happier, just like Caitlyn Jenner and the others who are integrating. And, you know, maybe a lot of the problems between the sexes is just, it's really just all in our heads, that, you know, because we're conditioned one way or conditioned another. Now, I know that from a biological point of view, the chemistry is different. The brains are different. But if we are, you know, sort of evolving toward more of an integration, I mean, that could potentially solve a lot of problems.
And if you think about it, the physical is only when you are identifying who you are as a sexual person. Because I honestly don't think of myself as either sex. It's like when I think of my total self, it's just like a little piece of things.
Well, being a tomboy, I was really athletic. I had three brothers, loads of boys on the block. We used to race and climb and run and, you know, everything, and compete. And I did come out of that at some point. It wasn't about a male-female thing. It was really just more as I evolved spiritually, I lost any attraction to competition. It just wasn't interesting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and of course there's a lot of competitive girls, but, you know, maybe sort of the tomboy, or you had the, you know, the young boys who maybe are a little more effeminate but may not be homosexual, maybe just have, you know, more creative and sort of artsy. which doesn't mean, you know, gay. But, you know, we have such a range. We have a whole spectrum. And if we can accept all of those, everybody will be happier.
Yeah, I think so, because judgment is like these walls that define a track, you know, like those bobsled tracks that are like the tubes. It's like it's keeping you and making decisions about your life. And I think the sexuality or the sexual orientation or whatever is a good case in point, but it's in every area.
It is.
Like,
it,
I'm going to be a doctor because my father's a doctor.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, I think that it's easier to accept something you can't wrap your head around, like Caitlyn Jenner, than it is to accept that, to not judge the neighbor's husband who's having an affair or something like that, something that's like more of a real thing that people understand. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The everyday things that we judge, the way somebody dresses or the, because you know that's what it's going to come down to. Now that we've accepted Caitlyn Jenner as a woman, we're going to be judging her footwear soon.
Well, you know, she actually talked about that, you know, the pressure, you know, and one of the news commentators was saying, you know, now she's in the world of, I think it's 78 cents on the dollar. Of course, she's probably immune to that because she's already, you know, she's got fame and fortune and, you know, already and all of the accolades from the sports and all that. So probably immune to certain aspects of it, you know, which is actually great. I mean, you know, if she can have it all,
yeah,
why not?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, she would probably come into, well, this is a tangent, but I was going to say she would probably come into problems if she were going to compete in some sort of a seniors, some sort of tournament, like a golf or something like that, as a woman against other women. She would probably come into, but there have been precedents with that, too, because of Renee Richards and, you know, other female athletes.
Yeah.
But
another example of an attempt at integrating is Rachel
Dolezal,
being white and identifying as black, and she said that she's sort of turning her whole argument with being head of an NAACP chapter, I believe, being born to white parents and putting on what they call blackface, putting on a weave, darkening her skin, identifying as black. And, you know, and what's happening with that whole controversy with the black community saying, you know, she's not white, but yet she's done a lot for them. She's done a lot for
them. Well,
that.
And if she's lived the last 10 years as a black person, then she's obvious she's had to have come up against some sort of racism and stuff like that. But, see, again, this is just one of those issues for me where it's like this is not something I can wrap my head around. It's not something I can understand. And so what it's coming down to more and more for me is I just trust the heart of the individual to make a thing. And you know what? People are making a big deal out of this. From what I can understand, she's no longer employed with the NAACP. But she was for a while after this came out. They didn't, like, immediately, you know, let her go. So it would seem as though they felt as though she was somehow benefiting. See, I feel like we're making a deal out of this.
Why would you not let someone advocate on your behalf, no matter what color your skin is?
Yeah,
maybe she could have done that as an authentically white person, still doing, you know, as much advocacy for them. But I guess it's the deceit her trying to.
Yeah. And I don't know her intentions. I don't know her heart. Maybe she did that because she thought it would be easier to get a job or whatever. I know that she went to, like, Howard University.
She really seems to have.
I think that's a past life thing.
Truly identified.
Yeah. You know?
But it's like Steve Martin in The Jerk. He, you know, he was raised
a poor black child.
Yeah. You know? And I think, you know, with there are those cases where, you know, your individuals of one race raised in a community of, and you know, they do identify.
And let's
really
save our judgment for people who are hurting others. Let's save our judgment for this kid that shot, even though I don't judge him either because I have, but anyway, let's save it for the kid that shot the 9 people and not for the woman who, for whatever reason that we don't know because we can't possibly know her heart and what was going through her mind.
I don't,
you know.
Well, that was a case of crossing a line of deceit, but for the betterment of 2 people instead of to the detriment. And how much of what, I haven't really read a lot about that. I've just been out of touch in the last several weeks, months. But how much of these actions on both sides of this fence are driven, and we're talking about the kid that shot all those people at the church, how much of that is driven by people that want to grandstand to create, like the media and all that, to create hostility instead of union, instead of empowerment. They're creating this environment that you're a victim and your only hope is through my hand of saving you through my programs I can create. What that does psychologically is makes a whole group of people feel like they have no power except through the innate, the giver, okay?
Well, and if you make them a special case, then there's
that. On the other side of that, you get people that are very uneducated and ignorant that pass along these gossipy lies about reality, saying that these people are having an easier time through affirmative action, and then you get this misinformation that's crazy, and people are learning this and killing each other over it.
Yes, exactly.
And so it is the kid.
Judgment is what created that racist that killed those 9
that's
people.
That's what I'm saying.
And it is our problem. I mean, it is a kid that goes in and kills anybody anywhere. Is our problem, because had he not been conditioned into that mentality, he wouldn't have done what he did.
Right, right.
I mean, it's a rare individual that just biologically, inherently is a killer. They exist, but it's quite rare. It's more common that, you know, these people are conditioned into hatred.
And that ignorance. And my theory, you know, not to wane into this other facet, which would be a rich conversation, is no one is taking this issue of anyone that has been oppressed over years, wherever they are, and helps to really empower them. It seems like every remedy we come up with just further makes people feel victimized and that their only solution is through the hand of the person oppressing them. They have to find it within themselves. But do you hear any leader out there talking about that? No.
No.
They're just wanting to get attention. Like, I'm this guy that ushers in or comes in.
And I will say, I have heard African-American people like Iyanna Van Zandt, spiritual leaders in the African-American community, I have heard them calling out for that, you know, bring it from within, and the elders have to support this, have to help make this happen and everything. But the fact of the matter is we throw programs at this and say, okay, that should be it. And it's not it if the hearts and minds of society are seeing these people as equal. And I'm not saying to take away the programs, because I think that they help a great deal. But I'm saying when you create programs around something, you're saying there's a problem here that needs to be fixed.
And then the ignorant people, the ignorant white people, it's a problem. And that's
exactly.
Whereas if it were, and the case in point in L.A. where the Asians came over and were not subjected to hundreds of years of oppression, and they walked in there and they empowered themselves through their own will and they started businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But through our programs that we throw at it, as you're saying, to fix it, what we're doing is saying you still have no power. And I think there's still a great form of oppression in the form of validating victim mentality, because when you're in victim mentality, you are powerless.
And you know, when World War II came, the Asians that were in this country were sent off to, I'm not going to call them concentration camps or something like that, but they were sent off to places in this country where they were monitored
in
and watched
internment camps.
simply because they were Asian. And we tried to do, without having actual internment camps, we kind of did the same thing after 9/11 with anybody who was Middle Eastern or looked like what we thought terrorists might be. You know what I mean? Society kind of did that to people instead of judging them on a one-to-one thing. And there is still a lot of ignorance out there.
Every race has a huge amount of...
But everybody still thinks that the Muslim religion says it's okay to kill. And the Muslim religion doesn't say
I, in all truth, have read the Quran and I've read the Bible multiple times. I studied that. And they are almost identical, by the way. They tell the story of Jesus and everything. There are some references in the Quran that if your wife cheats on you, you can tie her to the bed and beat her with a stick. But in the Bible, it says that if your wife cheats on you, you can brand her with the letter A or whatever. So there is a lot of violence in both.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one, and there is a lot of Christian violence. I think religion is the number one cause of death and pain throughout time.
Oh, absolutely.
But you're right. It's like, why are we judging... you can look what the Christians did to Iraq and probably Iran too, but killing how many? Just in God, you know, I didn't watch the news. I heard going to get Osama bin Laden, and then I turned on the news a couple years later, and all of a sudden, who's Osama bin Laden? Let's get
the next one.
Yeah, right. You know, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're quite terroristic. I mean,
absolutely.
We are the biggest terrorists I've ever seen.
Yeah. No. You know what? I love our country, but we go into but all of this is judgment.
Judgment. What about opinion? Now here's a thing.
Okay.
That we have to have opinion because that's how we are defined as individuals.
Yes.
I'm defined by my preferences. I like the color blue. You might like the color red, whatever. But I think a judgment turns, or an opinion turns into a judgment when you're forcing it on the people. What do you think?
Well, I just finished this chapter in a book I'm writing right now, and this particular chapter is a look at oneness and the one mind, which we've been, you know, at. You know, on spiritual paths, spiritual books and groups, you're always hearing about the one mind and one path. And then, so it's really a look at what about individualism within that path? One, you know, oneness versus individualism, which is better? What, you know, what is the relationship there?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the ego? And as you were just saying, we prefer different colors, we prefer different, you know, tastes and so on. And that is very necessary because it's that contrast that catalyzes us to go forward. Otherwise, we would stay in stagnation. We wouldn't grow.
Yes.
So
yeah.
it's a balance between you know, ascending and integrating, ascending and integrating. It's not one or the other. It's a combination of both.
I agree with that 100%. And I think what causes issues is when one person, like I realized that the only difference between us is our preferences a long time ago, and I got this idea that if it makes us feel larger, we walk toward it. If it makes us feel smaller, we walk away. And we don't judge it because it's different for everyone. And the more beliefs you can hold within you, the bigger you are. And so the people that only have their own beliefs, and if you're in an argument, you can bet you're holding only a tiny perspective. So the more you can hold within you.
Yeah.
So I think that what causes judgment is when another person is making the decision for you. That causes war. So if people could just say, you can be as judgmental as you want, but you can't think that that's the only truth.
Yeah.
Force it on people that you have to get down to a
different line. Or they're labeling something. They're labeling something as right or wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
So what do you think? So what is behind it? Is it control? Is it fear and insecurity that if someone has a different judgment that means you're wrong?
I think we're conditioned into believing that we must be right in order to be safe. if we're not right, as an individual, I have to be right. I've got to be right, because if I'm not right, there's fears involved. But what is the fear about? The fear is about not being safe. That, you know, because if we would all sit around feeling that we were all wrong all the time, we would feel very insecure, very unsafe. So I think there's some sort of a survival thing going on.
I think you're right.
You know?
I think that's very good. And you know what I was seeing as you were saying that? That we're really just a tick away from animals in the wild. And so we became conscious animals. And so there was a system animals used of barking, judging, you're strange, you're dangerous, that we're evolving out of. And if we can make a differentiation, so let's say we all have these pile of judgments, but when it comes to acknowledging that we're one, and I think that gets back to your oneness, then we can have a conversation about it and use a higher mind to make decisions.
And we need to be a body of one, or let's say a body of individuals that make up the one. So that's different than being of one mind where everybody's thinking the same. We would stagnate. We would go nowhere.
Right. My hand does things that like my foot doesn't really care about, you know. But
live and let live
one thing.
Is what it comes down to. Live and let live. You know, that's how you be are an individual in a one kind of thing. Oh, boy. Now, there's two squirrels out here having a fight. But you had said something earlier, Mary, before the show even started, about how from caveman times we had to, I don't know if you were a Neanderthal, you had to be able to distinguish what a, who were the non-Neanderthals?
Cro-Magnon?
What a Cro-Magnon was. You had to make those distinctions. You had to make those
judgments.
You had
to look for the differences in order to survive.
Exactly, part of your survival. Yeah, exactly. And so it is ingrained in us. But there's, like you were saying before, there's a difference between having an opinion and having a judgment. There's a difference between can't understand Caitlyn Jenner's choice, and Caitlyn Jenner's choice is wrong.
Yeah. It's just something I don't know. If I can't understand it, or if I'm judging something I don't know.
But we're increasingly becoming more attracted to the differences, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, even with, you know, dating and marriage, again, we were conditioned to be, you know, stick with your kind and your community and so on. But now everybody wants something different, strange.
Well, it's this ever unfolding and then consuming itself and unfolding. It's sort of like silly putty. You keep remaking something new all the time.
I think
even though it seems really horrible now, I think every time these differences evolve into war or conflict or whatever, it gets better. We become more conscious. Like, horrifying as all the oppressions have been throughout time and enslavement, that it became better. It stopped at one point, and people learned from it. So as horrid as it is, and I'm not excusing anything, I think we are moving in a really good direction.
I want to say, too, though, that I think that one thing that's important is that, you know, we were also brought up, there are certain things you don't bring up, like that, and I know we're about to go off, but years ago I was did these focus groups, and one of the ladies that I was with in the focus group, we had hours of nothing that was going on, you know, and we had to talk. One of them was an African American woman, and I asked her all the questions that you're not supposed to say to African American people, all the things that, you know, the walking on eggshell kind of things. And it was the best thing that ever happened for me, because it gave me more of an understanding where the chips come from on the shoulders and stuff like that. And that's what we've got to do.
If you that talking directly probably spoke to her, educated and light.
Yeah,
you know? Because that gets felt too. The artificial whatever. And there was a movie called Crash. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Very good. That was very good too. Maybe we can do a whole show on this. But anyway, I believe we are going off the air now. So we will see everybody
next month.
So watch for. We'll post the.
I think we actually have two next month because we we have one like on the 30th, the very last day of the month or something like that.
Okay. Well, those are Julie Mona. So, adios.
Good night.